Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a wee bit different from the words that I knew of that course, but you know, over the years people get their own versions of some courses and there's slight change, but it's basically the same sort is. And you know, it's a great desire to be like Jesus. I want this morning, if I can, to try to touch on something. And the subject is bigger than maybe what I have got to bring this morning, but I want to just leave a few thoughts with you. I'd like to take a reading from the book of Acts, and to cut it short, I'm only going to read one verse. Maybe that's wrong to do that. We'll read Book of Acts chapter 9 and we'll start at verse 11. And this is Paul on the road to Damascus. And we'll just remain in our seats this morning. Thank you. And we'll read a few verses here. Verse 11. And Saul has fell to the ground from his horse. And we know the light has shined round him and he has fell to the ground. And he hears a voice. It's the Lord speaking to him. And now what I am speaking about now is Ananias. The Lord speaks to Ananias. I need to read verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God.
Amen.
Now, if we can just have a word of prayer, we'll ask the Lord to bless his word to us this morning again. Our Father, we thank you that the privilege is ours, that we can just come so boldly into your house and into your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for a sense of your presence already in this room this morning. We thank you for the reports we've heard, especially of Brother Sammy. And Lord, the testimonies of how you have met our needs in days gone by. And truly, Lord, this morning we're dependent on you for to help us and to lead us and guide us. We ask the Holy Spirit will come among us as already has been prayed, and you'll minister your grace to us. You'll meet needs this morning in this room, Lord, and you'll strengthen us by your power and by your might for your name's sake and for your glory, Lord. We ask these things, and I pray, Lord, you'll help me to speak your word this morning. And Lord, may your people be encouraged and strengthened, and may we be edified this morning in the gospel. In Jesus' precious name, We ask these things and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, just when I'm up here, I want to say a personal word of thanks to everybody who was praying for me, praying for the Bruce family, and praying for my son-in-law, Billy. I'll tell you, Billy has made a remarkable recovery. And the Lord has really touched him. And I appreciate the prayers of God's people. You know, when God answers prayer, you don't need me to tell you that, but even as Tommy, the pastor, has been saying, God answers prayer. And I thank the Lord for answering prayer. And even concerning the Bruce family, you know, I said to someone the other night, the Lord done exactly what I asked him to do. God's not guilty. God has cleared his name. He has done exactly what we asked him, what I asked him to do. I believe that with all my heart. And I trust the Lord continues to bless. You know, just to say that Billy was going back and forth to the hospital. He still is. And he had a really nasty wound. And it was going, what's the word, septic, is it? But and the nurse took a pen and she drew a circle around his ankle with the pen, and she outlined the area that was infected. And they said they might have to do an operation on him. And he's got a bone, his two bones chipped in his ankle. At every side of his ankle, this bone is chipped. The flesh was torn right off the bone. The wellington boot was like something that somebody took till with a Stanley knife and ripped to pieces. But thank God for mercy.
Amen.
You know, Billy said he was fighting against the shaft, and he said he knew if he let go, he was gone. You know, you can come that close to being killed or losing a limb. You know, we know Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, or to destroy. You know, the devil can't fix anything. Can't heal anything. Can't fix anything. He can't make something that's brand new. He's not a creator. There's one today who is a creator. He's the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
He's the self-existing one. Hallelujah. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the nurses got Billy in and they dressed his wound and they put honey on the wound. And he started to heal. But God's a healer, isn't it? And you know, the honey made his wound heal so quickly that the bandage was covered with the regrowth of the new skin. And they put on like a gauze there. Now, nurses know what they're doing. They put on a gauze and they put the honey on it. You know, there's honey this morning. What was it the prophet said? He said the old shepherd used to take the honey and he put it on the limestone rock.
Amen.
Now, he wanted the sheep to lick the lime, but the enticement was the honey. I want to say, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Hallelujah.
For he tastes like honey on the rock.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh. And them old sheep, them old ewes, or some people say them old ewes, would come up and they start to lick the honey. And they'd get a bit of limestone off the rock. You know,
amen.
God can give you a wee bit of honey to get you that you'll come to the rock.
Yes.
And that rock is Christ.
Amen.
There's plenty of stuff that looks like the real stuff, but it's not the real thing. It's a decoy. It's Antichrist. But if you come to the real thing, you're going to get something. Praise the Lord. Now, let me get to what I'm trying to say this morning, and I hope I can leave something with you. I'm fascinated with this man, Paul, the apostle. I've never really done an in-depth study of his life or an in-depth study of his journeys, but I have touched upon him sometimes a small look at him. But there's something outstanding about this man, Paul. And I didn't read his conversion roll. I didn't read it, and maybe I should have read it. But let me say, listen, you know these things this morning. There was a day in his life when God changed him.
Amen.
There was a day in the life of the Apostle Paul that he could look back to when he passed from death unto life. There was a time in his experience when he could mark that particular day when he met with Christ.
Amen.
I tell you, he could tell you the date. He could tell you the time. He could tell you where he was when it happened. He had a testimony. He had a testimony of a meeting place with Christ. Now, this morning, I want to, if I can, talk to you about personal representation for Christ. I'm going to say that again. Personal representation for Christ. And that's what I want to speak to you this morning about, if I can. Personal representation for Christ. You know, you wouldn't have been in Paul's company too long till you would have heard about Christ. His conversation was Christ. His conversation, and then, I don't care how long you'd been in his presence or what the subject was. The subject with Paul was Christ.
Amen.
Christ. Now, I want to draw your attention to verse 20, and it's only one verse, but you know I've loads of other verses, and we're going to maybe turn to some of them and look at them. But I want you to notice something here about Paul. And we have just read how that the Lord spoke to Ananias. And he spoke to him in a vision. And he told Ananias to go into a place that's called Straight and look for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Now, Saul was praying after he met Christ. You know, that's we can all learn something from that. Sometimes people are praying before they meet Christ. Well, that's good. But when you meet him, it doesn't mean you stop.
Amen.
We need to keep on praying.
Amen.
We need to keep on praying.
Amen.
We need to keep on pressing the battle to the gate. Even though we are Christians. You know, somebody says if you're a Christian you don't need to pray. Well, that's untrue. The more you need to pray, the more. You need to pray the more. And you know, it's interesting because the Lord spoke to Ananias and told Ananias that Paul or Saul was praying. You know, Saul maybe didn't see any results. Just like Tommy said, sometimes you pray and you don't see any results or you don't. Nothing seems to change. But here the Lord is speaking to Ananias, and he said, behold, he prayeth in verse 11. And he said, he sent him to Saul, and he said, for behold, he prayeth. And then Ananias comes in, and you know, whenever Ananias comes in, there's no struggle. Ananias comes in, he's a man sent from God. He's a man sent from God to another man of God. From one man of God to another man of God. Boy, no man is an island unto himself. Do you not think that the Lord would have said to Saul of Tarsus or Paul, well, you just better wait there a while and you just better keep on praying. Well, he was saying that to him. He was saying that to him. But he was sending somebody else to give him a wee bit of help.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, we need each other.
That's right. Amen.
We need each other. And you know, we need to be dependable that your brother or your sister can go to you for help in time of need. And here, this man was available. This man, Ananias, he was available. And he's coming under, what would you say, what way is he coming? He's coming as a personal representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to try to speak to you this morning. Now, what is this? What am I trying to say to you this morning? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Why? There's no corners.
Amen. Amen.
Arise. The Lord said, speak to you for no reason. God speaks to his people. A preacher preached a sermon one time and he said that the Lord never speaks to his people. Very, very seldom. Well, what he was saying was that God's not in speaking terms with us. That's not true. God speaks every day.
Amen.
God will speak every hour. God will speak every moment. God will speak every second if you've got your ears on. And I know something what I used to say, we need to listen with both ears. When you listen with both ears, it comes in through both ears and it stays there. When you listen with one, it comes in and goes across and goes out through the other one. God help us to listen.
Amen.
Now, when Ananias walked into Paul, he was a personal representation. He was acting on behalf of somebody else. You know, when we come to church, we ought to be acting on behalf of somebody else. You know, whenever we go to pray for the sick, we ought to be acting on behalf of somebody else.
Amen.
Whenever we go for to ask God to do something, we ought to be acting on behalf of somebody else. And here Ananias was acting on the behalf of the Lord himself. He was a personal representation. And he walked down in there. And there was no struggle. And verse 13, you see, the Lord tells Ananias a wee bit about this man. So he tells him, behold, he prayeth. And he tells him that Saul seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. Now Saul had gotten his earthly eyes blinded, but it got his spiritual eyes opened. God was starting to deal with him. Hallelujah. You know, when God starts to deal with you, you're going to change.
Amen.
When God dealt with me, I changed. When he dealt with you, you changed. I tell you, when God deals with a man or deals with a woman, they can look to the day when they pass from death unto life. They can look to the time whenever they were changed for God's
Amen.
Grace and for God's glory. And he said, and he has, you see, Paul was starting to see, or Saul was starting to see, he saw a vision of a man, and he had the name of the man. He saw the man, and he didn't only see the man, he had the man's name. Why, is that God, or what is that?
Amen.
He showed him who he was, and he told him who he was. He seen him in a vision. Now, he saw him with the spiritual eyes. He saw the vision. And the man was coming in, and you see, he's coming in on something else there. He's putting his hand on him. Showed the man coming in, and he doesn't just come in, he lays hands on him.
Amen.
You know, see what God was teaching here. Came in and he laid hands on him. And you see, this was only the vision. This was a, what do you call this? This was a trailer. Is that the right word? No, maybe it's not. This was a trailer of the events that was going to take place. You know, when God's going to do something, there's no devil in hell can stop that.
Amen.
This is determined in heaven.
Amen.
This happened in heaven first of all.
Amen.
That's when he saw the vision. It happened in heaven. Hallelujah! Forever and ever God's kingdom will stand. Forever and ever. We used to sing that big chorus, and you know I forgot it. You know what we need to do? We need to sit down someday and read and write down all the old songs.
Amen.
And all the old choruses. Because there's some great truths there. And if we don't watch, we're going to lose them. Not be able to sing them. Forever and ever God's kingdom will stand. Forever and ever, not divided by man. It came from heaven at his command. Forever and ever
Amen.
God's kingdom will stand.
Amen.
You see, it came from heaven. I'm sure the Lord's given the testimony about Paul here. He's given a testimony about Saul, and he is relating, the Lord's relating what happened. And he's not only relating what happened, and he's telling Ananias. Then Ananias answered and said, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." Why, I tell you something, the devil never wants you to call on the name of the Lord. He doesn't want you to call on his name. But if we can just go on down a few verses here. Verse 15 is the next verse, and it's, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And you know, thank God that Saul, or the Apostle Paul, was a chosen vessel. And I want to read on. Verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house." Now, when he comes into the house, he doesn't do anything different other than what the Lord showed him. For of course, we read it here. "And he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him," that was on Saul, "said, Brother Saul," now he's calling him brother. Why is it not? "He's initiated into the family of God when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus." He got an initiation right there when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Tell me if a man has met with Christ and they're in the family of God. Don't tell me a man has met with Christ and he's not a part of the family of God, for I'm not believing. Once you have an experience with Christ, you're a part of the family of God.
Amen.
And here Ananias comes in and he addresses him. He lays his hands on him. He does what the vision was. He does exactly what was in the vision. He comes in and he lays his hands on him. And he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And we read then, you see, he hadn't eaten anything for 3 days or 3 nights. And we read in verse 19, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus." And verse 20, I believe, is the key verse here. And the Bible says in verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Why so? "And straightway he preached Christ."
Amen.
"In the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Now I want to look at that this morning for a moment or two. "Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." You know, whenever Paul would have started to preach Christ and that he was the Son of God, he was opening himself to persecution right away. Because the Jews didn't accept, we know the Jews didn't accept Christ. But straightway, the Bible says, he preached Christ. Show me a man that's sent from God, and you're showing me a man that straightway will preach Christ.
Amen.
Show me a man who is not sent from God, and he'll never name him. He'll do the opposite. Don't tell me you're sent from God if you never mention Christ. Don't tell me that you're Christ's ambassador if you don't speak for him. Now, I said here that Ananias was the personal representative of Christ. I believe whenever Paul got the Holy Ghost, that he became the personal representation, or is that the right way to say it? He's the personal representative. That's the word I'm looking for. Christ. He's the personal representative for Christ. You know, we're going to turn and we're maybe going to look at some of the messages or some of the scriptures where Paul was preaching. But I want you to note that straightway he preached Christ. Straight away he was preaching Christ in the synagogues. He wasn't worried about what anybody was going to say. He wasn't worried about the consequences. He was there to present one man, and that man was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was there on behalf of another, not himself. That man was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, you know, if you went into one of Paul's meetings, boy, I tell you, you wouldn't have went in there and not have heard about Christ. You couldn't have. Could you go into one of Paul's meetings and not hear about Christ? You couldn't. Now, some people today say they follow Paul. Well, they don't. If they follow him, they don't preach like him. And you know, today, if we want to make a comparison to the early church and to our church, if we want to make a comparison to what the disciples had and what we have, you know, the story was told, and it's only a story. Now, I'm going to tell you this story. I know it's only a story, but listen. The story was told that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried in the tomb and rose again, the resurrection and all them things, and then he come back and he sent the Holy Ghost on the church, and it said that he was up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. It said that all the angels of God gathered around him, and the angels said to him, what about them 12 disciples? Oh, what about them 120 that was in the upper room? And the Lord said, well, sure, I sent my spirit on them. I give them the Holy Ghost. I didn't leave them comfortless. I give them the Holy Spirit. And they're going to preach the gospel. They're going to represent me on earth. And the story goes that one of the angels came over to the Lord and said, and what happens if they don't preach the gospel? What happens if they don't represent you? What happens if they don't go back to the fishing boats? What happens if they just go back to tax collecting? What happens if they just go back to do whatever they were doing, whatever they were doing before? And the Lord looked at them and said, well, I haven't got any other plans. Haven't got any other plans. You know, you may say, oh, John, that's not in the Bible, but it is. If you look, you'll see it. That we're God's ambassadors. Now, that's what I'm trying to bring this morning. That's what I'm trying to leave you with you this morning. We're God's ambassadors. We're Christ's ambassadors. Now, I want briefly to turn to the book of Acts, on chapter 17, and here is the Apostle Paul again. And you know, there's a lot mentioned, there's a lot said about the Apostle Paul. We could never cover it in one meeting. You could never cover the life of the Apostle Paul in one service. No, you could go through this here, and you could take a lot of time with it, and you could get into an in-depth study, but I'm only sort of scratching on the surface this morning. But I want to draw your attention till Paul here, and I've written down some scriptures on the next chapter 17, and verse 22, Paul's standing on Mars Hill. But even before we come to verse 22, in verse 16, Paul has arrived in a place called Athens. And in verse 16, you read these words. Now, Paul, he had got separated, I believe it was from Silas, and some of the other brothers were out on missionary work, you might say, and they got separated, and there's Paul and Silas, and they're preaching the gospel, but I believe that Paul has got separated somehow from them here, and they went to a place called Berea, and the people were stirred up, and the brethren sent Paul away, and it was Silas and Timothy was together, I believe. But verse 16 said that Paul was, he's arrived into Athens. And verse 16 says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now the city of Athens was given over to idol worship. And it stirred Paul up when he saw this, because there's something inside him. And it's the Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit of Christ in him. And he sees how Athens is really given over to idolatry. And then the Athenians, they come down and they want to know the new doctrine, because he's speaking to them of Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to them of a resurrection. And in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now, he's coming to present the Lord Jesus Christ to the people in Athens. And he goes on to say that how they had an altar to the unknown God. Now I'll just read on down a few verses here in verse 25. Neither is worship with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed on the bonds and their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Goes on in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, and certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
Now, I want to just start here and give you a brief outline of the ministry of Paul. And you didn't go into Paul's meeting and not hear about repentance. Paul the Apostle preached repentance. And the very next verse, in verse 31, he gives a reason for preaching repentance. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead.
Amen.
And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. But I want you to see the Apostle Paul here, and I believe it didn't take him all day to present the gospel. Now you might say, John, well, what makes you say that? I believe that Paul came to the point. He came to the point. If you take them two verses, verses 30 and verses 31, and Paul is speaking to the people in Athens here, and he says, on the times of this ignorance, God winked at. That was whenever there was no excuse, when there was no gospel. God winked at it now. But he says now, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. repent. Now, Paul's preaching repentance, and then not only is he preaching repentance, he's preaching an appointed day of judgment. So Paul preached repentance, and the reason for preaching repentance was that there was going to be a day of judgment. You know, I believe God wants us to preach repentance.
Amen.
I believe he wants us to preach a day of judgment that's coming on this world. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that if we're going to follow Paul the Apostle, if we're going to be like Paul the Apostle when we preach or when we try to preach, we'll preach repentance. And the Bible says that forthwith he preached, or straight away, he preached Christ in the synagogue. He preached him right away. So when you see a man here, he's preaching Christ, but when he preaches Christ, he preached repentance. And he doesn't only preach repentance, but he preaches a day of judgment that's coming. Day of judgment. And he has appointed a day in which he had judged the world in righteousness. So he's not only preaching a day of judgment, but he's preaching a righteousness. And he's said also, by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. He didn't only preach repentance, he didn't only preach judgment, but he preached righteousness, and he preached the resurrection.
Amen.
See how quickly Paul brings that all in two. He brings it in two verses. And he doesn't only do, I've left something out, that Christ is the one that's ordained of God to bring judgment on the world.
Amen.
God is going to judge this world by his words. He's going to judge this world by the man, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is coming again, and when he comes, he's going to judge the world. Now, we know he's going to come and catch his people away that's ready, but we know he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says that he set his feet on the Mount of Olives, and one half will cleave toward the west, and the other half toward the east, or the north and the south, and the mountain's going to be divided, and the children of Israel is going to look on him, and they're going to say, what are these thy wounds? And he's going to say, these are they with which I received in the house of my friends. But we can rest assured that Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
Now when Paul preached that, he preached the second coming.
Amen.
When he preached judgment, he preached the second coming.
Amen.
When he preached the resurrection, he preached the second coming. When he preached righteousness, he preached righteousness now for you and not for me. And he preached that God had ordained his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the righteous judge of all the earth. We see him today as the righteous judge. And you know, see how quickly Paul was able to present the gospel. You know, I find it more and more, and I believe the Lord has impressed this upon me, and I've said it in here to you, and I want to say it again. I don't want you to take offense, and I don't want you to be annoyed at what I'm trying to say, because I can take all day to say nothing sometimes. But I believe the Lord wants us to learn the gospel. And I believe he wants us not only to learn the gospel, but he wants us to learn how to present the gospel in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Now I believe that if you went into Paul's service, you wouldn't have sat for 2 hours and not have heard about Christ. I believe if you went into his service, you wouldn't have sat for 2 hours and not have heard about repentance. I believe if you went into his service, you wouldn't have sat for 2 hours and not have heard about righteousness. And I believe also you wouldn't have sat for 2 hours to hear about a day of judgment coming. You see, it's the technique, isn't it, Nabi, I'm trying to talk about. But also I'm trying to say that we have gotten a lot of time to preach the gospel. Now you would say, John, sure, I'm not a preacher, you're not even a preacher, you might think you are a conference is to come here to meet together and worship the Lord.
Amen.
But we, are we not here to represent Christ?
Right.
Are we not here as the personal representative of the man called Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I tell you, if we're not here to represent him, we need to go home. Because we've missed the issue. If we're not here to tell sinners that they need to repent, we have missed the issue. If we're not here to tell people there's a day of judgment coming, we have missed the issue. If we're not here to tell people that there's a righteous judge who's going to come and he's going to judge this world in righteousness, and there's a day appointed, there's an appointment made, we have missed the issue. If we're not here to proclaim there's a resurrection, why we've missed the issue? You know, I had the opportunity of going to see my father-in-law, and he's on his deathbed. What do you do? What do you say? Now, you're going down the road home. You're going home from your work. You could be going anywhere. You come on an accident. There's a bad accident. There's somebody lying on the road. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm only saying if. There's somebody lying on the road. They're about to perish. They're about to go out of this. They're about to leave this world. They're about to leave this scene of time. What do you say to them? I tell you, we need to get the pencil sharpened. We need to get a word. We need to get the gospel. We need to have something to present. You know what? I asked the Lord about my father-in-law, and I said, Lord, will you give me a word? And you know, he did. The Lord gave me a word. He gave me the scripture, and I had the privilege of going down. And I was talking to the man, but they couldn't answer me. I was talking to the man that was just lying there, and his eyes was closed, and he wasn't talking. And well, I'd done the talking, but I hadn't long to talk. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. You know, if I stand up here this morning and start to talk to you, and maybe I have done it sometimes, but if I talk too long, you're going to get tired. Aren't you? If I stand here, if I keep you to 3 o'clock this evening, you're the bigger fool if you stay here. For your dinner's going to be ruined. You need to get out and go home and get your dinner and do whatever you're going to do. But you're going to lose the interest, aren't you? And I believe Paul was like that. Now, I'm not knocking anybody who preaches long. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to condemn anybody who preaches long. You know, some people can preach for an hour. Some people can preach for 2 hours. But let me say this. If you're going to preach that long, Tommy said a good question. He said you can preach all night if you raise somebody from the dead when you're finished. For us, what Paul done. And the young fellow sat up in the window and he fell asleep and he fell down from the third loft and he was taken up dead. But Paul went down and he raised him from the dead.
Amen.
I tell you, would to God we'd be like that.
Amen.
You know, going back to my father-in-law, well, I left him in God's hands. I couldn't save him. I couldn't save anybody. You couldn't save anybody. But the only thing you can do is point them to one that can.
Amen.
That's all you can do is point them to a Saviour. Thank God he's a Saviour.
Amen.
You know, never say that God can't use you. Now, look, I might be bringing this across the wrong way. Never say that God can't use you. Didn't he use a donkey? Didn't he use the ass? Somebody else said he used the loud rooster to crow.
That's right.
When did he use him to crow? Well, he appointed the crow because the Lord said before the cock crows, you deny me thrice. Why that old rooster? He should have been. crow at night, he's meant to crow in the morning. But he crowed in the evening. Why did he do that? Because God wanted him to.
Amen.
Well, then, rooster.
Right.
He couldn't have walked out of your road hard. But he got up and crowed.
Amen.
I tell you, if he could use a loud rooster, or he could use a donkey, he could use me, maybe. Or maybe he could use you. Be encouraged this morning.
Amen.
Be encouraged to speak a word.
Amen.
And don't worry. You know, one of the biggest problems sometimes when we come to, and we say we're going to preach, we think we have nothing to say. Isn't that right? We think we have nothing to say. You finish up and you have too much to say. And instead of having one sermon, you have maybe five. And you try to put five into one, and five doesn't go into one. We learnt that, didn't we, at school, if we were there at all. God give us wisdom.
Amen.
But see, the personal representation of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the body of Christ. It's in you and me this morning.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. You know, I'm not doing maybe what I was meant to do this morning. I'm gonna sit down soon. God bless you this morning. Be encouraged. You know, it's only God can save a man, isn't that right? It's only God can heal a man.
Amen.
It's only God can do them things. We ought to be praying continually. I know we are praying. I am here to encourage you to keep on praying. Keep on pressing the battle to the gate. You know, the time is going on. I just want to turn to Ephesians and chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. And you know, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and he's just telling them some things. And in verse 10, he's winding down here, as it were, in chapter 6. And in verse 10, he's winding his letter down to the Ephesian church. And now, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now this is what's against you. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, you know, just I'm coming to the close. I have spent my time. I don't know where it has went to, but I've spent my time. And Paul says he was, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds." And he said he's an ambassador for the gospel.
Amen.
He's an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador. You know, I didn't take the time to look up that word ambassador. And I'm sure there's lots of people in here, and they could make a better distinction of the word ambassador than I can this morning. But an ambassador is, I've written down here, that someone who gives himself till an effort or a cause. An ambassador is someone who is working on behalf of someone else.
Amen.
And you know, that's maybe not a true description of an ambassador, but I think you get what I'm trying to say. And the Apostle Paul said that he was an ambassador for Christ. And also in Corinthians, I think I have written it down here, 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, we read that Paul says we are ambassadors.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. I'll just try and turn it over quickly and read it to you. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now, a couple of verses before that, he says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And listen to this, these wonderful words. Not in putting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Praise the Lord. And you know, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, as I go back to the Ephesians, he's writing to the Ephesians and he's saying that he's an ambassador in bonds. He was in prison. And he was probably in fetters. And he was probably in chains. But he was still an ambassador for Christ. He was still witnessing to the power of God. And you know, I believe that we're ambassadors to Christ. And you know, he writes here to these Ephesian church, and he tells them, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what he said. And he said, put on the whole armour of God.
Amen.
Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, just in closing, and I'm going to come and close, and we'll maybe just have a time and we'll wait on the Lord. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and you know, what I'm trying to do this morning is probably preach 4 or 5 sermons when I only should be trying to preach one. But in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 11, these are the words of the Lord himself. And it's 11 and verse 12. So it was easy for me to remember that. And chapter 11 and verse 12. We read these words. And from this is the Lord speaking. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You see, you could spend a lot of time on that, but really and truly, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. That's principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. In Luke 16:16, it's the same scripture basically, and it's the Lord speaking about the kingdom of heaven. Luke 16:16, Jesus said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth intellect. You see, there was a change when Christ died on the cross. There was a change at Calvary. There was a message came, a message of repentance, a message of sins forgiven, a message of righteousness by faith, a message of judgment coming, a message but also of salvation, and a message of deliverance. You know, I'm going to say this, all hell might be against you this morning, but all heaven is for you.
Amen.
Be encouraged. Now, I know my sermon has been a bit mixed up. Maybe it's wrong to say a bit mixed up. It has been all mixed up. But be encouraged. Because if I go back till the start where Ananias was sent from God, I believe God didn't have anybody else. And maybe God has nobody else, only us. You know, it's a big thing, it's a big responsibility to stand behind this desk, and we all know that. Because we'll be held accountable for what we have done with Christ and how we've presented Him. You know, I hear the man talking, and he was talking about being at a funeral, and he spoke about a man who preached, and he condemned him. And the reason why he condemned him, he said everybody was going to hell. That's what he said. He said he had everybody going to hell, so he condemned him. But you know, when I see that man again, the Lord willing, when I see him again, I'm going to say, "Boy, I was at a meeting, at a funeral, and everybody was going to heaven." You see, you'll not be liked if you present the gospel. The devil's against it. He doesn't want anybody to hear the truth. Doesn't want any presentation of the gospel. Doesn't want any message of repentance. Doesn't want Christ to be preached. When Paul preached Christ, he preached repentance. He preached the day of judgment coming, didn't he? And he preached the resurrection. Thank God. Oh, be encouraged this morning. Can I trouble you to try to sing a hymn this morning? Maybe your sister Alva will help me. And I'd like to try and sing a hymn. And then Mark's going to come back again. And I hope we've got this one on the overhead. It's "Wash Me, O Lamb of God. Wash Me from Sin." I think it's 598 in the Redemption. It's 598 in the Redemption. Do you have that, Matthew? "Wash me, O Lamb of God. Wash me from sin." I hope we have got it, because I don't feel like singing a solo. Praise the Lord. Anybody know this hymn? Nobody knows "Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin." Praise the Lord. You know it, Sister Alvin? We're trying to sing it. That's madness, is it? Praise the Lord. There's five long verses. Well, it's a great hymn, this. I just love it. I don't know if you could remember the words if I told them to you. I'll read you out the first verse, and then I'm going to sing it. You might say, "Well, you're brave," but I'm going to sing it. And First verse says, "Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. Purge me from every stain. Let me thy image gain." You know, I'm sorry, I didn't really preach this morning what I was going to preach. So it's all mixed up. I'm sorry about that. But you know, whenever you look in the mirror, you see yourself, don't you? You see a reflection of your own self. But you know, when the world looks at you, they ought not to see you. They ought to see Christ. They ought to see an ambassador for Christ. They ought to see someone who's washed in the blood of the Lamb. They ought to see someone, and they do. They do see someone who's washed in the blood of the Lamb. They see someone who has a call of God in their life. Someone who has been to the cleansing flow. And you know, that's a real ambassador. And what did the Bible say about Christ? It said he was the expressed image of his person. Great is the mystery of godliness. For God became a man in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Philip said, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said, "Have you been such a long time with me and do you not know me, Philip?" And then the Jews came round and said, "You're not yet 50. And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." That's God. That's the self-existent one. Became a man. Oh boy. You see, we're ambassadors for him this afternoon. This afternoon now, the time's slipping by, but this afternoon, but we're still an ambassador for Christ. You know, we go, I didn't take the time to say it, and I've mixed it all up maybe, but listen, if you're into that meeting where Paul was, what would you see before you'd come out? You'd see Christ. You'd see Christ. You'd see him in action before you come out. You know, I believe that when a group of people come together, we ought to expect to see Christ and to see him in action. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord. Sister Alvin, you give me a note, and I try and sing this. And if you want to help me, we'll try and sing this song, and we'll sing some of the song. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. sing verse 3 again. I want to thank you for listening to me. I'm a bit like a crow scraping. I mixed it up in the wrong word. I said, I will not, cannot rest. I couldn't see it. To tell you the truth, I couldn't see it. It was a bit, my book is a wee bit of a, the print's not great there, but I'm going to sing verse 3 again because I want to get it right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wash me, O Lamb of God. Wash me from sin. I will not, cannot rest till pure within. All movement still is vain, but thou canst cleanse each stain till not a spot remain. Which I have spoken unto you. I tell you today that this Bible will clean you, the Word of God will clean you, the blood of Jesus will clean you.
Amen.
It'll make you fit for heaven and home. There's all human skill is vain. There's nothing that man can do, it's only what he has done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, we never can make ourselves ministers, but God is our sufficiency.
Amen.
We can never become holy, but he's our. We're not righteous this afternoon. It's him that's righteous. We're not holy. It's God that's holy. I'm glad I'm not depending on something that I've done, but I'm depending on the finished work. I'm glad for a message of repentance. I'm glad for a message of salvation, for a message of righteousness, and that Jesus Christ is risen again from the dead and he's coming again. Praise the Lord. You know my advice? Go and learn that hymn. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to sit down before I do anything I shouldn't do.